Okay, the Lord had said to Abraham, that's an important link, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So this is a well-known story. I believe you guys in Lifeline have been studying this over the last while, am I correct? Or at least looking at that, yeah? That's encouraging. And I guess you have this idea in a nutshell of this amazing blessing that God has promised over Abraham, don't you? To be a blessing to all the nations and the people being as numerous as the sands. And this amazing encouraging thing of what you'll do. How many of you have had a call from God that's encouraging? Yeah, well, let's look around, like it's great to see that. And it is encouraging, isn't it? But in that journey, there's a kind of a road of giving things up, isn't there? There's a journey of giving things up that are difficult. And Abraham, how encouraging was it for him when he received that call? You're going to be a blessing to all the nations. You're going to be as numerous as the sand. Well, the people below you and through you are going to be. How encouraging was that? And he was like, yes, this is great. And then God tells him to give all these things up. He had to leave his family. He went through a massive famine and ended going to Egypt. If you flick through the next two chapters, you'll see this. He was in great relationship with his brother Lot, and he had to leave Lot and go to a new land. And essentially then, when he didn't see it working out, this call of being as numerous as the sand of the sea, how it would work out because he didn't have a child, he went about making it happen himself. And he slept with Hagar, and he had Ishmael. So here's the blessing of God on one hand, amazing call upon all of us. We have these calls, but this call to submission, this sense of having to leave behind and leave our understanding of how it's going to work out behind and heading into what God has for us. And we see this sense of I must decrease and God must increase. And that's a very difficult journey. But if we're to kind of fulfill what God has for us, a very important process. And we've seen that as we've prayed with people up the front here earlier on. That sense of letting go and praying with people is very important. So we see that at the beginning of the Old Testament, don't we? The sense of being called and the sense of going through this journey of submission. Then we open the New Testament and we see one of the major characters in the New Testament, Mary. We see that Mary had this amazing blessing that through her, the Son of God would be born. But yes, you know, she had to go again through this journey of submission. She was a virgin. She had to leave her family. She also had to go to Egypt and leave behind everything that she saw fit as well. And she had to enter into this sense of leaving behind how she thought it was going to work out, if you like, in her life, and actually enter into God's promises. So the main thing is the beginning of the both Testaments. We see this amazing story of Abraham, and also Mary. Mary, this sense of being called into something great, but having to leave things behind. Now, have you all been seeing the Florida revivals that were happening on the telly? And has anyone not heard of them? It's okay, you don't have to put your hand up because it's embarrassing, because I don't want to make you feel that way. But just to let you know, there's amazing things happening in Florida. A guy through, I'm always forgetting his name, Bent Reckley. Todd Bentley, sorry. No, that's another guy. Bent Reckley. Check him out on Google. That's a good name for a kid. Okay, so Todd Bentley, amazing outpourings of God's Spirit. He's really entering into the blessings that God has for him. But beforehand, if some of you have been listening to the journey that he went on before this, was a very, very difficult journey of submission and letting things go. In other words, kind of putting down how he thought it would work out to actually how God wanted it to work out. So that transition was very important for him. We see the amazing outpouring of God's grace and God's blessing and healing, which are a signpost to God's kingdom, of course, but we don't often like to resonate with the sense of having to let go in order to let God, if you like. And there's a couple of guys here that want to share a testimony, I believe, from Lifeline. Lifeline, let you introduce it here yourselves, just to share with what you have gone through with letting go and entering into this new covenant God has for you. So Glenn, who do we have to kind of, okay, let's go. Can we give him a round of applause here? You just introduce yourself, just tell us a bit about Lifeline. Yeah.
How are you, everyone?
Oh yeah.
I just love being a Christian. I'm not a Christian that long, but I just love it. And when I stand here, I'm giving God all the glory. Mm-hmm. He's given me back my life. He's given me a future. He's given me dreams. He's given me dreams back that the devil took away. Just going to share a little bit about myself, where I came from. As Rob said, going from the old into the new. I came to a place, and it's called the North Strand, and it's on the north side of the city. I was adopted into a family. I was abandoned by both parents. I never met my father. My mother went to another country, married somebody else. But in that family, it was just a mad family. When you're born into sin, you didn't know a way out. You know what I mean? They didn't know what I have today. If they knew that, I might have been something different. Mike is dead heavy. But yeah. But living in that household, you know, I never felt powerful. I hadn't got a mother figure. My granny stepped into that shoes, but she died when I was really young. Then I had father figures stepping into that, and they were evil. I got beatings from them when I was that high. I used to get battered for stupid little things. When you come home drunk, they used to pick it out on me. And all that kind of stuff was horrible. You know, I still get pain when I think of that stuff. But, you know, the Lord has taken that away. He's taken away slowly, but he's taken it away. You know, it was a set of flats that I grew up in, you know. And growing up, I was introduced to drugs at an early age. I think it was 1982 I picked up drugs. My first drug was, you know, was sniffing glue and all that kind of stuff. But I'm not glorifying drugs. I'm not standing up here to glorify drugs. I'm just letting there's nowhere I came from, because there's hope for anybody. That's why I'm standing here and saying this kind of stuff. And I'm not glorifying any. I'm not standing here glorifying the Lord when I stand here. But I was introduced to drugs, and they brought me to mad places. You know, I used to stick needles in my neck and my feet and my groin. And I would be one of them people that you see on the streets. The living dead, I used to call myself. And I tell you things that I remember when people be going past and give you that little coin more. So Christians in here tonight, like myself, if you can give someone a coin more tonight, give it to them. You know, because when people used to impact that into me, they're the sort of things that stayed with me. You know what I mean? Just people giving you that coin little word, you know. But the places that I went, I ended up in prison a lot of the time. I'd done years in prison for committing crimes. Now, the crimes that I committed were evil crimes. But there's things that I got to look at. You know, I was a sinner. I was a born sinner, and I didn't know any different. You know what I mean? So the old woman going across the street that goes to Mass every Sunday, she's a sinner as well, just like me. I used to say, when I first came a Christian, I used to say, "You're evil, your sins, they can't be forgiven. Jesus went to the cross on my sins." And he went to that cross once. He didn't have to go three or four times. He went once. You know what I mean? And I had to get that into my head. I used to say, "Your sins are just unbelievable." You know what I mean? He didn't go to the cross for you. He went for other people that sins weren't so bad. But he went to the cross for all their sins, everybody's sins. I don't even want to go into my past. I want to glorify Jesus standing up here. I don't even want to go into my past. Because the places that have brought me are not nice, and I don't even want to go back to them. As he said, that's the old. I'm in the new now. I'm a born again Christian, a new creation in Christ's eyes. And that's why I'm standing here. Yeah,
that's great.
But when I stepped to, I went to Lifeline. We used to have a place in Inchicore. We're going to Drogheda now to a bigger place. But when I first went in there, it's like I used to see the lads hopping around. He said, "These are all lunatics. The first chance of getting out of here." But I remember I went to the door one night, and it was like, ever see them always keeping cows in? It was like one of them at the door was like, "Shh." I just didn't want to go. Something was holding me in there. The peace that the lads had, you know what I mean? They're lovely people, you know what I mean? They're my brothers. And you was all my brothers and sisters in there. But there was something in there that I wanted. I didn't know what it was. I was in a battle. The evil one wanted me back out there. He wanted me dancing to his tunes, and I'd done it for long enough. And I just didn't want to do it anymore. I didn't want to do it. But in there, I remember I was in there, and the lads used to be hopping around. I'd be lying on the ground saying, "Oh, how am I going to get out of this?" You know what I mean? But as I kept going on, I just kept wanting it. Now, after I got through the heroin, got the addiction out of me and the sickness and all, you know, I started standing up like everybody else, and you know, you say, who are these worshiping? You know what I mean? Because I didn't believe in God. I gave up God when I was a kid. I see my friend died when I was 9, and I turned me back on God. I said, if it was a God, this wouldn't be happening. The things that happened when I was a kid, I said, if it was a God, this wouldn't happen to me. When things like that happen, you think that there's no God, but there is a God. And standing here, that's how I know there's a God. He lives inside me. But when I was in there, I wanted what the lads have. I just, you know, they had something in, and they had that peace of mind. You know, when you walk along the streets and you see people, you know, you can see the peace of mind in people, and that's what I wanted. I wanted that. I wanted to know where they got. We start getting into the Bible. The things that was in that Bible, it's a live wire, that's what I call it. It's my live wire. You know what I mean? When I pick it up, anything that I'm going through, I just have to pick up the Bible and it's in there and it gets me out of that situation. But I wonder what the lads had in there. And I got it, and how I got it was surrender. I surrendered everything. My kids, everything. I had to surrender everything to the Lord. It just says one day, Lord, take everything. I don't want none of the world. Take the lot. And he did, and I have peace of mind. I have peace of mind in my head. Sometimes the enemy comes at me, tells me I'm worthless, tells me I'm this and that, brings up my past, but I just tell him to go away. You all know what he's like. He's lower than a snake's belly. You can't get any lower. But I just love, I tell her, I love being a Christian. Just even there worshipping. It's like the freedom I have. See, just freedom in the head. I mean, my heart, I just have love back in my heart. My heart was blocked. It was like a stone. I just had no love for people. And the things that the Lord has given me back now is, you know, I talk to my two kids on the phone, and eventually I'll see them, you know what I mean, I will see them, and that's things I've got to look forward to. I have dreams, I have hopes. The thing that I really want to do is, like, when I was caught up in sin and caught up in that addiction and all, I didn't care about nobody. Now today, like, I want to save people. I want to bring people back to the Lord. I want to help people in any way I can. Anyway, I keep praying to the Lord. Show me more of you. Let me know what you want me to do. It's like I say to the lads, I don't want to be a backseat Christian sitting in the backseat. I'm sitting in the backseat all my life. I want to be in that driving seat, driving along, do you know what I mean? Helping people. Anything, like the word. Send that word into people, do you know what I mean? Let them know where I came from. And what the Lord's doing for me. So I just say, if there's anyone here tonight that just feels like that the Lord's not in their life, I mean, hand your life over to him. Because if you can do things for me, do it for anybody. Amen.
Amen to that. Hey guys, I know we're cracking on with time. Is it okay if we hear the next testimony? Because these guys have come in and come on, yeah. And Oh, that's great, because you know, you guys have been with us for a while now, coming and going, and it's important that we hear from you. So yeah,
I'm nearly afraid to listen to what my voice sounds like on this thing, honestly.
Yeah.
But me standing up here today is an absolute miracle. Before I came into Lifeline, this isn't a joke. I couldn't even butter toast, and the lads will all testify to that. So me standing here today is giving, like Derek said, is giving Jesus all the glory. You know what I mean? Because the old has gone and the new has come. Praise the Lord. But just 2 or 3 minutes, I just want to tell you a little bit about my life. I grew up in from Sligo.
Sorry, that's enough.
Anyway, I grew up in Sligo. I grew up in the roughest part of Sligo, and growing up, I grew up with my mother and my 3 sisters and my father. My father was a very evil man. Any memories I have of him, he was very violent, he was very destructive, you know what I mean? I witnessed him doing some brutal things to my sisters. The last memory I have of him, when I was 8, I remember a car pulling up outside my house, my mother saying to get into the car, and me and my 3 sisters and my mother drove off out to some cottage out in the country, stayed there till she won custody to the house. My mother ended up getting remarried then when I was 11 to a lovely man, and it was great and all. and we're supposed to live happily ever after. And then when I was about 13, it was literally like something went to my head. It was like something snapped. The more I think about it, the more I realise that's what happened. As soon, I was all right in primary school, but just when I was finishing up in primary school, just something went to my head. I started getting in trouble. I went into secondary school. I was thrown out of all my secondary schools. I was put into a private school. I was thrown out of that. I started smoking hash when I was 14. Started sniffing glue, taking coke. I ended up getting addicted to cocaine. And my life just got worse and worse, you know what I mean? It was like I got a kick out of hurting people. I was constantly in trouble. I had a curse over my life, just like Derek was speaking about. My ma was a Christian growing up. So she brought me to church growing up. I forgot to tell you that. My ma was a Christian growing up. But she used to always bring me to church, and I used to think, yeah, this is all right. Like, you know what I mean? I used to like going, and when I was about 13 or 14, then when I was starting to lose it a bit, she used to bring me to the youth meetings and stuff, and I used to go the odd time, and it used to be really nice to me and all, but I just used to think, something used to tell me in my head, I mean, you're different to these, you know what I mean, this isn't for you, you're different. But I prayed to God, I said, look God, help me or whatever, but I wasn't surrendered. Like Derek said, the word we use in Lifeline, the word we use most is surrender, because it's all about surrender. Until you give the Lord everything, that's when he takes complete control of you, that's when he'll empower you, that's when he'll anoint you. And it's like you're saying, the call of Abraham, you know what I mean, I'm living that out. Now, you know what I mean, Abraham's blessing, because I've surrendered my life to Jesus, and until I accepted Jesus' blood, that's when that curse was broken over my life. But I used to be in the church anyway, and I used to be thinking to myself, you know what I mean, I want this, but the enemy was in my head and he was telling me, you're different, you know what I mean, he said, this isn't for you, he said, you're not like these, you know what I mean, you're different. And things just got worse and worse, you know what I mean. I ended up out in the streets on my own, all my friends would be going home, I'd be sleeping in a field, I'd be sleeping in a shed, you know what I mean. I used to rob a lot out of it. I end up getting a lot of money, you know what I mean, I spend the money, I throw it out to people looking for acceptance, I'd do anything looking for acceptance. And my life just got worse and worse, you know what I mean? I came more broken and more broken, but praise the Lord God, that God has hand over my life. And I ended up going to my brother-in-law, and I told him, I said, look, I have enough. I said, I need a break, I need you to help me. And he ended up bringing Philip in Lifeline. And so I came up to Lifeline, and I remember coming up in the car, and I was thinking to myself, you know what I mean? My head was all over the place, and I was thinking, like, what are you doing? But it was just, like, a peace was upon me. Like, they told me and all it was a Christian place, and I'd seen things like that before, and it never worked out. But I said, I'll go here for a while and see what happens. But it was just like, I really had a sense of peace going up the road in the car. So when I come up into Lifeline, anyway, I'll never forget the first morning I did the worship, like Derek said, you know what I mean? Because what the lads have in Lifeline, I'm not just saying this up in here, what we have in Lifeline is very special. You know what I mean? God lives in our house, you know what I mean? He's anointed. He's anointed all the lads, like he's anointed all ye, but you know what I mean? Just that scripture again, you know what I mean, where it says, you know what I mean, Jesus, you know what I mean, he's a doctor, he came for the sick, obviously he loves the healthy as well, but you know what I mean, it's the likes of us, he came for it, it's the likes of us, he's going to rise up and use. But when I went into Lifeline, I'll never forget the first morning when I seen them all worshipping, and I thought to myself, I thought back to in the church when I used to see people worshipping, and I used to say, well, if they can do it, why can't I do it, you know what I mean? I seen, and I heard the stories, I heard where they're coming from, and I was saying, yeah, I want this, you know what I mean, if they can't do it, why can't I do it? And I remember I gave my life to the Lord in there, and I broke out. I was very emotional. And I'll never forget, I said to the Lord, I surrendered to the Lord. And I remember the lads praying for me, and I'll never forget it till the day I die. I remember the lads praying for me, and Philip saying, do you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? I said, yeah, of course I do. Give me it all. I want more. I want more. So they prayed for me. And I'm not joking yet. You hear, but when they prayed for me, it was like I was electrocuted. There and then, it was like I was electrocuted. I was like, literally like fire came up inside me. I started speaking in tongues. I started singing. And since that moment, I haven't looked back. I'm in Lifeline 8 months, and it's been the best 8 months of my life, you know what I mean? And that's because of Jesus, that's because of what Jesus done on that cross, that's because of Jesus' blood, honestly. But I'm not just saying this either, the lads will testify this, and my mother is just in complete shock what has happened, honestly, because for so many years everyone looked down on me, and when I went home, you know what I mean, everyone looks up to me that way, to be asking, because the lads will tell you as well, Jesus is my life, like, you know what I mean, I never stop talking about it, I love him, you know what I mean, he gave up his life for me, I give up my life for him now, and it's like, as soon as I accepted Jesus, you know what I mean, and I got filled with power, because, you know what I mean, actions are louder than words. When you say you surrender your life to Jesus, you give him everything. everything. And when he sees a surrendered life, that's when he can use you. That's when he can power you. That's when he can anoint you. And the plans, I'm finished now Lifeline in 3 or 4 months, and I'm hoping to go to a disciples course up in Green Pastures. You know what I mean? And I really feel the Lord has led me there. I really feel the Holy Spirit has guided me there. He's opening doors. And like Derek said, now my life is, you know what I mean, to reach other people, to reach other broken people. And that's it. Amen.
Isn't that absolutely wonderful and exciting? And we want more of that here in Cork and across the city and the nation and beyond. And I had so many things to say about submission and Abraham having to submit to come more in line with God's will. But I think you guys have said more than I could ever preach about. I know we're cracking on time, but to finish, would you turn to Genesis 17:3? And there's just one thing I want us just to pray into as we finish this evening. And apologies for those who have come specifically to hear a talk. I have a copy of it here. You can take away whatever you want after. See, here's the thing, folks. Abraham was called. And he went through this whole journey of giving things up, as these guys have gone through a journey of giving things up, which has been hard, yeah? And having to let that go. And we've all been part of that. It's not just these guys. I have, you have. Maybe some of you haven't here tonight, and I'd love to pray for that. If you want to accept Jesus as your Savior, we're all for that. But verse 3, it says, Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. And that was the turning point, if you like, for Abraham. That point of complete submission, when God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. It was a high father, which Abraham means. To Abraham means a father of nations. And that came as God changed him. And we see many name changes in the Bible. And we've all had that experience. But what I just want us to finish with tonight is let's stand together. And let's just do something maybe we haven't done for a while, just to finish. If there's anyone here who hasn't, maybe doesn't have that relationship with Jesus, or doesn't have that sort of sense of resonating with God as personal Savior, we want to just have that opportunity for you maybe to fall face down, if you like. And I'm not going to ask you to come up the front, but rather let's just kind of close our eyes and let's just ask God to remind us all firstly that we're on a journey and that we're called to fall face down, if you like, in submission, but knowing that God is for us, and that's not a legalistic thing. But also, if you're here tonight and maybe even your relationship with Jesus has faltered slightly, we just pray that you will know him afresh tonight. So if that is you, just put your hands out where you are. And specifically for those whose maybe relationship has lapsed as well, we just pray a blessing upon you.